listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today, Kristen Palpini, Lifestyles Editor with the Berkshire Eagle, and Chris Collins, Columnist with the Greenfield Recorder. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This week, Massachusetts cannabis regulators heard from the public about what changes they'd like to see to the state's pot laws. At a session in Springfield, Jenna Martin, a medical marijuana patient, said health professionals need more education on the drug. That's after she had surgery canceled at the last minute due to concerns about interactions between marijuana and anesthesia.
And the best part is, cannabis isn't even dangerous. You can't die from cannabis.
Kristen, you and I were both at this meeting. Is there something that caught your ear that regulators should think about?
Well, I mean, this woman's story was definitely an eye-opener. I had no idea people were being turned away. Medical marijuana users were being turned away. I think it's kind of wild that we're still talking about this, that people are suffering in this way.
Chris, is there something in your mind that needs to change with the marijuana laws?
Well, I can tell you that what this to me is a referendum on the dangers of referendum law. Because when you have a situation like when you have a law that's put forth by the voters and is not put forth by the lawmakers, you end up with unintended consequences. The thing that bothers me about this story is one would think a licensed anesthesiologist would understand the potential impact or clash between medical cannabis and anesthesia. And that is a little upsetting on its face, too.
I'm guessing it was an insurance thing, concerns about losing liability insurance or getting sued.
It's been more than half a year since the MGM casino has opened, and it appears public health officials are slow in getting services for problem gamblers up and running. One example, the City of Springfield's Health Department still hasn't hired anyone to oversee gambling issues, more than 6 months after they said such a hire was imminent. Chris, what's going on here?
I don't know, but I can tell you that this is a really bothersome part of this story because that was one of the promises that was made. If we do casinos, we're going to make sure we have services available for people who might be problem gamblers. And it's just an unkept promise that is really tragic.
Kristen, some mental health counselors say gambling is up among clients, but it's too early to tell if it can be labeled as a problem. What do you think about all of this?
Well, I think that they're waiting to label it as a problem because you technically can't call it a problem, an addiction, until it's been a year. But I think they know the signs and are seeing them right now that this is going to be an issue. But we knew that going in, that it was going to increase. This isn't a surprise.
Chris?
Yeah, I think that this is exactly why that codicil was put into the law, to ensure that the unintended consequences of casino gambling are addressed, and they're not being, and someone should be asking more questions about that.
In the small Berkshire County town of Sheffield, a mother of an adult man who says he was sexually abused at a school in town decades ago when he was a student advertised on a billboard recently to find other victims. That was after she was not able to convince law enforcement to look at the case. Here's Sharon Morgan.
I felt we needed corroboration, and I didn't know how else to get it except to advertise it.
Morgan says five women and six men stepped forward after the billboard went up. Sheffield's police chief says if the billboard brings more information, the case could be reopened. Kristen, your paper has reported on this. How about the idea of taking out a full ad on a billboard to try and find other victims of sexual assault?
Yeah, so I worked on this story with Heather Bellow. I guess we're still following it, of course. But this was a real desperate act by the mother. You know, she didn't feel like she was getting listened to, and to buy a billboard, I mean, that's kind of like a last resort thing, but it seems like it's making a splash, and if anything's still out there, I think she'll find it.
It almost sounds like a Hollywood script, and it is a Hollywood script. There was a movie that was just made about this that was nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I personally love the idea. Anything that brings about some kind of evidence to help victims of this kind of abuse, I'm all for, and I think that it's a creative way to draw people out.
And the thing about it is just from a news standpoint, if you wanted this to get out as a newspaper, we can't print suspicions and that aren't founded or anything. But if somebody puts up a billboard like that, well, we have to write something about it.
Right.
Everyone's got questions.
And let's talk about the statute of limitations issue here for a moment. Chris, the Sheffield police chief says that was one of the issues at play here when it comes to how long authorities have to file charges depending on the type of incident. Is that something lawmakers need to look at?
I think it's been something they've had to look at for a while now. Statute of limitations is the number one thing I think that that causes a lot of these cases not to go to trial. Anybody who's ever had this kind of trauma, you know, it takes years for it to surface sometimes in therapy. And, you know, by the time you figure out what really happened, the statute of limitations is up. And there should, should be no statute of limitations as far as I'm concerned, and especially in terms of this kind of sex crime.
Kristen, you report in the Southern Berkshires, and there's been a lot of difficult news coming out of Sheffield, a town just more than 3,000. There's this story, of course, plus word that a Sheffield native died in an airline crash in Ethiopia, and a fatal fire this week, which the district attorney believes is part of a murder-suicide that claimed the lives of an entire family of five. How is this small town in the Southern Berkshires holding up?
So I spoke to members of the community yesterday, and what I heard a lot was that people are still in shock. They're not even processing it yet because this is one tragedy on top of another, and it's too fast, too violent.
Chris, you're from Franklin County, which has many similarly sized towns. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I've seen not quite to this degree, but there have been certainly cases over the years where small towns have been hit with tragedies, and I think a lot of people sometimes will move to small towns to get away from those kinds of tragedies in big cities. So it becomes a double shock. Mm-hmm. But the people who have been around there for a while, when you lose a neighbor, you lose a friend. I think that people in small western towns here in Massachusetts are very tight-knit. So it does affect literally the entire village when things like this happen. And it's an awful story. I pray for those people.
Finally, this week, the Democratic House leader in Connecticut says he'll be pushing for a vote on eliminating the religious exemption to the state's vaccine law. That would mean unvaccinated children would not be allowed in public school. Chris, should it be up to lawmakers to decide a public health issue like this?
That's a tough one. It's so dangerous, though, when you're talking about not vaccinating kids and, you know, the measles epidemic that we're seeing nationwide right now. I'm always going to lean on the side of public safety, and I think that maybe it is time to really address this.
Kristen?
I agree. You know, religious exemptions are one thing, but they shouldn't come at the price of somebody else's health and safety, and not just one person, many people.
You know, your right to swing your hand ends where my nose begins, and it's even more the case when you're talking about diseases that don't have a cure or that require a vaccine to contain it. This affects and threatens everybody, not just the kids.
All right, Chris Collins of the Greenfield Recorder and Kristen Palpini of the Berkshire Eagle, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. Also, listen to Beacon Hill and Five, our weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.